Boisai, good morning. And having discussed repairing the roads and Boroshich and Moros, I want to make a link between repairing the roads and the next subject. About, I think it was a year ago, a few months ago certainly, maybe less than a year, the London Borough of Barnet started to build a bus lane on Regent's Park Road between Henley's Corner and Gravel Hill on the way to Pardus. So when you go across Finchley Road onto Regent's Park Road. Nice, wide road, never congested.
They took the pavement away.
Part of the pavement away, they took the parking spaces away, they installed the bus bus lane, they put in cameras and signs, etc., etc., etc. And there was uproar locally because the council, according to the local residents, and my wife's a teacher in Pardus and walks Kibbutz every day that way, there's never a problem there. The road is a nice wide road, it's not congested, there are never any queues except half a dozen cars at the traffic lights, yeah? But apart from the traffic lights, which you're not going to solve anyway with the bus lane, you're just creating a bus lane where they said that you've created a solution where there is no problem.
And eventually
the council listened to the public and they uninstalled all the work that they'd done. And you can still see, the markings. It cost us, you and me, and other council ratepayers, council taxpayers, cost us about £1.5 million. £1.5 million of wasted money. Okay. So, in Yetz Hashem, on Wednesday, Erev Yom Tov, in 2 weeks' time, we'll be making an Erev Tavshilin. All of us will be taking an egg and a matzah, whatever it is, a piece of fish and a matzah, and we'll be making a brocha, and we'll say Ba'adeinu Ruvo. And by that, we understand that it will allow us to cook on Friday. It will allow us to cook on Friday for Shabbos. Friday is the second day Yom Tov. Yom Tov is Thursday, Friday. And we'll be allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos. The question is, what problem are we solving? In other words, what's the problem here? Yeah, what's the problem that we have that it should be a problem to cook from Friday to Shabbos? And how are Chazal solving it by taking a matzah and an egg and making a brocha and making a declaration? So, and then Belineda, I think we'll then learn the dinim of Erev Tavshilin, but first to understand what it is that is a problem. So the Gemara in Pesachim says, Min HaTorah, says Rashi, Min HaTorah, in fact the Gemara says Min HaTorah, Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim B'Yom Tov. You're allowed to cook Min HaTorah on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Clearly you can't cook on Shabbos for Shabbos because there's this Bishul. But there's a Heter Bishul on Yom Tov. And if you want to cook on Friday, specifically a separate pot for Shabbos, gefilte fish for Shabbos, or whatever it is that you want to cook, soup for Shabbos, on Friday, which is Yom Tov, Min HaTorah, you're allowed to cook. Yeah? It says, Acha sheyochel l'chol nefesh, Shabbos v'Yom Tov both have kedusha, d'tavayu Shabbos ikri, the Torah calls both of them Shabbos, in various psukim, v'chihechi d'muta levash l'boi b'yoy, and in the same way that you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, for Yom Tov, Muta, Levashel, Lemocha, you're allowed to cook for tomorrow as well. If you're allowed to cook Min HaTorah, according to the Gemara on Pesachim, from Friday, specifically for Shabbos, what is the problem that we're trying to overcome in doing an Erev Tavshilin? Why do I need an Erev Tavshilin at all? So B'li'edah, we will learn B'li'edah tomorrow, two Mahalchim, as to what the problem is, two different ways of looking at the problem, and then we'll work out how the Erev Tavshilin will solve the problem, and then B'li'edah will look at the halachas of Erev Tavshilin.
Start there, so away in northwest London. Thursday, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Aleph Nissan, 19th of March. Not as advertised, Rabbi Suri Siegel of Kodel Netzach Yisrael has kindly stepped in. We're very grateful. Asse Docha Lewis Asse. She is sponsored by the Nishmas. And esteemed founder of Yosef Dov, Ben. Shemachol Tzvi Itzkowitz Achron Levrocha. Just let the Olam know there's a bris today of the lady Yitzchak's grandson in Hendadas at 10 o'clock.
Who is his grandson? Good morning, Chodesh. Coming from a family of Chazonim, I'm not used to performing with my face to the crowd. Normally it's the back to the crowd. But we'll give it a bash anyway. Well, we're Ashkenazi Chazonim, so it's fine. Anyway, so today I want to focus on a very specific case of Asi Doich and Lois Asi. So let's just do a little recap or introduction to the sugya of Asi Doich and Lois Asi, and then we'll focus on a shaila of Asi Doich and Lois Asi, which is connected to Pesach. So for introduction, we have a sugya in Yevamos. It's a mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum is if a man is passed away without children, then the Torah is mechayev his brother to now marry his wife. We come across a problem because we know that a sister, the wife of one's brother, is one of the arois. It's not mutter, it's asa to marry a sister-in-law, and that's even after the brother dies. So as the Gemara, we have a concept of Asi Doich HaLois Asi. We have the mitzvah of Yibum, which is an Asi, and we have a Lois Asi of the Erva of Ish Sach. When they come together, the Asi overrides the Lois Asi. We have many cases in the Torah of Asi Doich HaLois Asi. Let's just give another example. There is an Issa for a person to cut off Tzaras. If someone had Tzaras on his body, it's an Issa to cut off the Tzaras. What happens when this clash of the mitzvah of Bris Milah? What happens if there's a nega, the tzaras, on the orla, on the place where you need to cut off for Milah? So again, we have a problem. We have an assay of the mitzvah Milah, and that comes together with a lois assay of cutting off tzaras. Again, we say assay doch a lois assay. And that's the sugya of assay doch a lois assay. We're going to get back to the sugya, but now it's focused on a Mishnah in Sochim. The Mishnah Pesachim talks about a person who is on his way to Shecht, his Korban Pesach, or on his way to perform Bris Milah on his child, to find the moil to perform Bris Milah on his child, and he remembers his Erev Pesach, and he remembers he's got chametz in his house. So now, he's got a problem, what should I do? Says the Mishnah, if he has enough time to be able to go back home and dispose of his chametz, and still fulfill his mitzvah of Korban Pesach, then obviously you should go back home, first destroy the chametz, which is more preferable, and then carry on his way and shecht his Korban Pesach, or perform the Bris Milah. Says the Mishnah, what happens if he hasn't got enough time to get home, destroy the chametz, and still fulfill his mitzvah of Bris Milah, or Korban Pesach? Says the Mishnah, we can rely on the Ikar Din in the Torah, that a person can actually be Mavat his chametz, which is something we all do on both after Bikas chametz and in the morning on Erev Pesach. We, in addition to the disposal of chametz, we also have be Mavat la chametz, which is the Deraisa Din. And therefore, although the Rabbanon always preferred that in addition to bimavatel, we actually dispose of our chametz, but when it's going to come at the expense of one of these mitzvahs, then one should be mavatel his chametz, rely on the din d'oraisa, and continue on his way and be mekayim his mitzvahs that he needs to be mekayim. The problem comes when this story happens after the zman of Issa chametz, which means on Erev Pesach till the sixth hour, it's mutter to own chametz, some points still mutter to eat, some points mutter to still own. From the sixth hour, you've got to get rid of all your chametz. Once we reach that point, we consider this not to be in his reshus anymore, and therefore he cannot be mevatel his chametz anymore. So if he's on his way to shecht his korban, or on his way to perform milah on his child, and it's after chatzos, we are now don't have this option of bittul chametz. So the question is now, what's he meant to do? On the one hand, he has his mitzvah of Korban Pesach, or mitzvah of Milah. On the other hand, he's got his mitzvah Tashbisu, he has to get rid of his chametz. Which one takes precedence? Says the Magen Avraham in Siman Tov Mem Daled, that a person should, in fact, go and burn his chametz over Milah. Now, the Magen Avraham is not talking about Korban Pesach, we'll deal with that shortly. The Magen Avraham was passing the halacha, and it's not unfortunately, it's not Negev for us at this point, Kron Pesach. He's talking about something which is Negev, it's applicable. Now, there is someone who has this option of either doing Bris Milah or burning the Chametz. Says the Magen Avraham, it's preferred that you go back and burn your Chametz rather than do your Milah, and explains why. We have a toss-up between two assays here. We've got one assay of Tashbisu, and we have another assay of doing the Bris Milah. The assay of Tashbisu is a more stringent assay because every moment that you delay burning your chametz, you are continuously being over, you're transgressing the not burning your chametz, the assay of Tashbisu. Whereas Mila, says the Magen Avraham, is not an assay which you are continuously being over. You have a chiyuv to do Bris Mila, and if I don't do it, I haven't done it. Sorry? So says the Max Shekel, I don't understand the Magen Avraham. Like you're saying, that even on the day, okay, we're not sure on the eighth day itself, but definitely beyond the eighth day, every moment you're also over on your Bris Mila. So that's a sugya which we're not going to go in now, but the Max Shekel does point this out in the Magen Avraham. But right into our sugya of Asay, so here says the Magen Avraham that you've got an Asay of Tashbisu, which his opinion is that it's a more stringent Asay than the Asay of Mila. And therefore, the preferred option is to go and burn your chametz. Says the Evan Ha'ezer. The Evan Ha'ezer is another pirush on the Shulchan Aruch, and he challenges the Magen Avraham. He says, our mission that we brought, and it's passed in the Halacha, talks about two cases, Bris Milah and Korban Pesach. Says, I understand your logic in Bris Milah. We have the Asay of Tashbisu and the Asay of Milah. The Asay of Tashbisu, according to Magen Avraham, is a more chamul Asay, and therefore we go with the Asay of Tashbisu. However, Korban Pesach, someone who deliberately does not come and bring his Korban Pesach, is an assay which has the penalty of Koros. And an assay of Koros is definitely going to override the assay of Tashbisu, which is a regular assay. So in the same Mishnah, we're forced into say, that Legabe Wandin of Korban Pesach, you're going to have to go and perform your Korban Pesach. And if that's the case, then I assume that the same Mishnah would give the same ruling for the case of Mila, that if a person is on his way to go and perform Mila for his child, versus Tashbisu, you should go and do Mila, as opposed to the Magen Avraham's opinion, which you do Tashbisu. You're going to say the taina of the Magen Avraham, that there's a mitzvah to Tashbisu, which is more stringent, says the Evan Ha'ezer, well, we have a Shittas HaTosos in Psachim Choftes, which says that someone who is intent, he has chametz, which he's intending on burning, is not over on Tashbisu, and therefore I'm anyway not really so bothered by the Magen Avraham's problem, says the Evan Ha'ezer. So, just to summarize so far, we have a machlokes, Magen Avraham and the Evan Ha'ezer, when someone's on his way to do either Mila or Korban Pesach, and the Magen Avraham doesn't talk about Korban Pesach, so just focus on Mila, when someone's on his way to do Mila versus Tashbisu, and he can't be Mevatel Chametz, because we're beyond the point of Bittel Chametz, does he go for Tashbisu and not be Mekayim his Mila, Korban Pesach, or the other way around, he will be makrif his korban and mila as opposed to the tashbisu. Says the Tzlach, I have an additional problem here with the Evan Ha'ezer. There's a pasuk in the Torah which forbids a person to shecht a korban pesach whilst in possession of a kezayis of chametz. So let's ignore the problem of tashbisu now. Let's just focus on the mitzvah of korban pesach alone, independently. Korban pesach cannot be performed if I own chametz. So, how can you, Evan Ha'ezer, tell me that it's preferred to go and shecht the Korban Pesach as opposed to going and do Tashbisu? Just ignore Tashbisu. The actual mitzvah of Korban Pesach is forbidden if you own chametz. So you anyway can't go and shecht the Korban Pesach. Says the Tzlach, I've got the normal rule of Asay Derech Halos Asay, and this is where I want to focus today. We don't say Asay Derech Halos Asay in a case where the Lois Asay was written in connection with the Asay. Now, as we spoke in the introduction to Asay Derech Lois Asay, the normal case of Asay Derech Lois Asay is when you have two separate dinim, one's Asay, one's Lois Asay, which happen to come together. So, whether it's the Issa of Eish Asach together with the Mitzvah of Yibum, or whether it's the Issa of cutting Tsaras, and that happens to come together with the Mitzvah Smila. However, when it comes to this Asay and Lois Asay of Chametz on Pesach, when you're on a Shecht on Pesach, that is a Lois Asay which is written together with the Asay of Korban Pesach. Do not Shecht your Pesach if you own Chametz. Says the Tzlach, in such a case, we can't say Asay Derech Lois Asay.
But the Mitzvah should take it automatically away from you.
Oh, so that's really the sugya in Pesachim, that even though it's taken away in Hilchos Mamon, it's not in your Rishos, but the Ma'is the Torah does le'inyan to be chayiv, it puts it into your Rishos. That's the sugya in Pesachim, it's not right. That's we'll accept that from the Gemara. That's the sugya in the Gemara. But which is what's relevant to us is that we have here a case of Aseidah and Lo'is Aseidah, which come together. They're written in connection with each other. Says the Tzlach, I will not say Aseidah and Lo'is Aseidah in such a scenario. Rav Akiva Eger on the Mishnah there, Pesachim, brings a Turi Even who disagrees with this rule of the Tzlach. And I want to focus now on a different sugya which is Negeti Yonta, which is the sugya of Eilas Re'iyah. The Mishnah at the beginning of Chagiga tells us there's a din that on three times a year, we say in Musaf Yontov, Shalish Pam, Mashonah Yeroi calls the Churchos Mir Hashem, that there's a mitzvah for everyone to go up to the Misa Mikdosh on Shalish Regalim and make themselves seen in the Zor. Now, apart from that, there's also a lav of Lo Yeroi Fon Arika. That's also to come to the Beis HaMikdash, empty-handed, that's where we machayv to bring the Eilas Re'iyah. Now, this is written in Parashas Re'iyah, it's actually written in the same Pasuk. Sometimes it's written later on in the Parashah, sometimes it's not even written at all, the Lav. But there's definitely this Aseh with a Lav of Lo Yiroh Hanarikom. Now, there is a Machlekus. The Tori Evan brings a Machlekus, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. How do we define the mitzvah of Eilas Re'iyah, the mitzvah of coming to the Beis HaMikdash in relation to the Lav of Lo Yiroh Hanarikom? Do we say they are two independent dinim? There's a mitzvah saseh of coming to the Beis HaMikdash, and you can fulfill that mitzvah even if I haven't come with my korban, and even though I'm transgressing this Lav of Lo Yiroh Hanarikom, but I did something wrong, I didn't come with my korban, but I still have fulfilled my mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So, said the Torah Evan, the Mishnah lists out at the beginning of Chagiga all the people who are exempt from the mitzvah of Oil Rega. The Yishalmi is of the opinion that all these people who are Isha and Shaita, Katan, and all the Peturim in the Mishnah, they are all Peturim in bringing your Kaaba. But you still have a Chiyuv to actually go to the Azara and make yourself seen in the Azara. Tosfos brings riots from the Bavli, that the Bavli held that the Peturim are Peturim both in the Korban and coming to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Rambam paskens that you are not mekayim your mitzvah at all if you don't come with your Korban. Right? So, the Yishalmi definitely held they are not dependent on each other, because he said there are certain people who are chayiv to come to the Azara even though they're not going to bring a korban. So clearly the Yishalmi held the lav is not a clause in the Aseh that you're only mekayim Aseh if you come with your korban. The Bavli isn't clear because he puts them, can't potentially put them together. Says the Rambam, they are dependent on one another. However, Rashi would seem...
Sorry. How is the...
Oh, so the
Shaita. Even without a korban, they're pouring from the mitzvah, so it's a mitzvah.
Oh, so Morris says.
So how can they be chayav in re'iyah even if they're not a korban?
So Shaita and Kotel, maybe they're taka. I don't know if the Yishalmi holds Shaita Kotel chayav on the leader rega, but the Isha, the Gemara's got Havamina, and Yishalmi goes with this Havamina that you learn from Hakel. Although there's mitzvah is Mangaroma, but we learn it Re'iyah from Hakel, and therefore they mechayev you the Isha out that Makir. The Mora has that as a Havamina, and the Mora brings, in the Babli, brings a Ptur after that Havamina to say that Isha is still Potter. That's the Babli and Yishami. Now, Rashi would seem to learn that he held they were not connected, because we've run into another question with the Katan. The Mishnah brings the Chiv Chinuch of a Katan. A Katan, once you reach a certain age, so the Machlokes Yishalmi Beisila, what age that is, whether it has to be able to go on a shoulder ride on his father, or the father has to hold his hand, there's definitely an age where a katan is chayiv midrabanan to go and perform aliyah l'regel. The problem that we run into is there's a concept, there's a halacha of chulin ba'azara. You're not allowed to bring a non-kaddish animal, non-carbon, into the azara. Now, if a child is only chayiv midrabanan, then his carbon which he would bring would really be minatera chulin ba'azara. So says Tosfos, what do I do with this child with regard to his korban by Eilas Re'iyah? Says Tosfos, he is Makovic as a voluntary carbon. That he doesn't bring the carbon as the regular carbon oila. He brings it as a voluntary carbon. Tosis points out, however, Rashi seems to learn that the chiyuv of the child of chinuch doesn't include the chiyuv carbon. The child only needs to come with his father to the Azorah, but he doesn't need to bring a carbon. Now, if we're going to say that the whole mitzvah of Aliyah Regal is dependent on bringing your carbon, then it would be totally unnecessary for the child to then perform this mitzvah if he's not actually fulfilling his mitzvah.
The chiyuv on the father to take it to bring him.
But what is the chiyuv on the father? To bring him and fulfill the mitzvah? Why? It's to familiarize him with the mitzvahs. So if he's not being mekayim that mitzvah.
He's just mekayim by his father.
It would seem from Rashi, it's not muchach, but it would seem from Rashi that it's a non-dependent on each other. Now, the Gemara on Daf Dalet in Chagiga brings the mekayim for some of the Peturim in the Mishnah. And one of the Peturim in the Mishnah is a tumtum, someone who is Suffolk, whether he's a Zachar or a Nekeva. And the Mara brings a pasuk to say that this Tumtum is not Mechuyov to do Aliyah L'Regel. Fred the Gemara, if he's a Suffolk, why do we need a pasuk to be married to him? Now Tosis explains, why is being a Suffolk a reason that he shouldn't have to come to the Bisadik? Now sometimes Sfikas, we do see, well, I'm going to Suga now, Sfikas the Reis L'Chumra, but says Tosis, the problem that the child will have is, again, if the tumtum is really indeed a female, and therefore he is not mechuyov, or it's not mechuyov in the chiyuv of Aliyah L'Regel, then his carbon is not going to be a real carbon, because there's no chiyuv for him. Therefore, this is going to be again cholim ba'azara. And that's the Mara's kasha. The kasha of the Mara is, why do we need a pasuk to exempt a tumtum from coming to do Aliyah L'Regel? He anyway can't do a Aliyah L'Regel because he may be transgressing the problem of Cholim Bazar. Says the Tori Aven, I do understand the way Tosis understands the Gemara's Kasha. If I learn like the Rambam, the Shita of the Rambam, which held that someone who comes to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, on the first day of Yom Tov without a korban, he has not fulfilled any mitzvah at all, then I understand the Gemara's Kasha. But if you can detach, you can divorce the assay from the lois assay, and you can mekayim your assay even without bringing your carbon. So why do we not apply the rule of assay doicha lois assay here? We have an assay of come sholish pa'am bashana, you should come and bring your carbon, and we have a lois assay of come empty handed. And if you're going to transgress the lois assay, we should now have an assay doicha lois assay, which would tell us you apply the normal rule assay doicha lois assay, and you should still come to the Beis HaMikdash with without your carbon, but comes to Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the Gemara needs to be married to Tumtum from a pasuk, Afilohi, you're not going to come to Beis HaMikdash.
Which is the
Asay? Shorish Bavi Rahakal Surkot.
He's a
Sufi, he's
a Korakot. So how can you say Asay?
Why not? Tumtum, yeah.
He's a Sufi.
Right, so we've got some Manashok, he says. If he's a Zohar, right, so then he's Mekayim his Mitzvah. And then I've done Asay, and Asay, do Chalois Asay. Right? If he's a woman,
if it's a
Zohar, right?
If it's a Zohar,
no, but you came without your carbon. You can't bring your carbon, right? You can't bring your carbon because it might be Cholim Azara, right? You got Asay to come.
But if he's a Zohar, then it's not Cholim Azara. It's Chayav.
What?
If it's a Zohar, it's Chayav.
Yes, but we're saying come without. You can't come with the carbon because you might be a Nekeva, and therefore your carbon is a Cholim Ba'azara, right? Right, right. But therefore we say we can't bring it. So once you don't bring it, you're definitely not going to bring it because it's off, right? So once I am not bringing it, and now have an Asay, so if a Lois Asay, on the Tzad, on the Zohar. If it's a Nekeva, then there's no Lois Asay anyway coming into your hand because you didn't need to come. But if it's a Zohar, then you have Asay, so if a Lois Asay. So you got Yaseh Dechalosase. Says Rav Kiva Eger, I see from this Tori Aven that in a case where you got an Asay and a Loisase, which are written in connection of each other, we do apply the rule of Asay Dechalosase, which is where we wanted to get to. We got a Machloikos now between the Tzlach on the one side and the Tori Aven on the other side, whether when you have an Asay and a Loisase together, written in the same parasha and written about the same mitzvah, do you say Asay Dechalosase? And then perhaps we can explain this with two understandings in Asir Dechalei Tzitzit.
The Pesuk says quite clearly, "Lo yavo upon a record," it is an obligation to bring.
Pardon?
Lo yavo upon a record.
Right, it's allowed.
This is an obligation to bring.
But we say Asir Dechalei
Tzitzit.
That is what we. That's the
machlokes.
Yeah. That is the machlokes in the Rishonim. Potentially, machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi. Where how we define that mitzvah is lo yavo upon a record a clause, a tnai in the Asir, or is it two separate, independent? Firstly, it's not always written in the same pasuk. I think Turi Evan goes, he doesn't understand Yerushalmi because sometimes in the Torah it's like written bechlal the lav together with the dasei of Yerushalmi. That's the machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi. So there's two basic understandings in Asir Dechalei Tzitzit. One understanding is a Ramban in Parashat Yisro. The Ramban in Parashat Yisro says that Asir represents Ahava. It's a positive act that we do for Hashem. That's a person who has Avas Hashem. Lois Asir represents Yiro. Now when it comes to a clash between Ava and Yiro, Ava is stronger, is better than Yiro. It represents a better connection with Hashem. And therefore we say Asir Dechalei Tzitzit. When we've got an option of Asir and Lois, we say Asir Dechalei Tzitzit. The Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, it's a pirush on one of the Rishonim on the side of the Gemara in Shabbos, doesn't like this pshat. He asks, but we always find in the Torah that the lav is more chomer than Asir. The oinosh for a lav is more chomer than Asir. We find legabi mechila on Yom Kippur, that the brayt which says just doing tshuva on an Asir is enough, whereas a loisa you have to wait for Yom Kippur to be mechapa. We definitely see in plenty of places that a loisa say is taka stronger than Asir. So that can't be the pshat. Says Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, the reason why Asir is doicha loisa say is because a lois asay was never written when it's coming at the expense of an asay. It doesn't apply. The lois doesn't apply to us when it's coming at the expense of an asay. Now, if we take these two start, then potentially these are the two different understandings in the Tzlach and the Tori Evin. If you learn, like the Ramban, that Ava can always override Yira, then Lechaira, it shouldn't make a difference whether this Ava and Yira clash, the clash happens from the same mitzvah, from the same pasuk. Or it happens independently. So in the same way, when you have your tzaras and your mila, the ava of mila overrides the yira of tzaras. Then who adin when you have the ava of shechitas pesach, when you have the positive commandment of shechitas pesach, and that comes together with the love of doing el chavot, or in our case of re'ia, coming to the base of mikdash and not bringing your carbon, the ava will always override the yira. However, if you're going to go with the mahaloch of the Rabbi Nissim Gaon, that the lav was never written when it's coming at the expense of this asay, well, you can't say that in these two cases. In these two cases, the lav was actually written together with the asay. Shechitas Pesach was written with a clause that it can't be on whilst you're in possession of chametz. You cannot come to the azara if you don't bring a korban. So we can't apply the understanding of Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. And perhaps that may be the machlokes between the Turi Evan and the Tzlach. Now that we've mentioned this Ramban, perhaps we can just use the last few minutes to maybe, and more on the drush side of things, understand a bit this Ramban. So today is Rosh Chodesh of Nisan. The Torah says in Parshas Boy, this was the first mitzvah that the Klal Yisrael were given. And Rashi, at the beginning of the first Rashi in the Torah, says that really, it brings a medrash that really the mitzvah of Achodesh Elohim should have been given before. Why do we have the whole Bereishis? Right? The Ramban asks there, well, we have so many fundamental yesodos that we learn from Bereishis. So what's the kasha of the Medrash? Of course we need Bereishis. So Ruchaim Freelander has got an arichs about this. And he says that the kasha of the Medrash was not that we shouldn't need it at all. The question was the Seder, the order that Torah is written, should have started with mitzvahs. And he explains because there was a fundamental difference between pre-mitzvahs in the world and post-getting mitzvahs. Before we got mitzvahs, then the world was solely run, dependent on how Hashem wanted to run the world, and that was regardless of what was happening in the world, because we didn't have any mitzvahs to determine anything. Once we got mitzvahs, we were given the ability to now, through our actions, through what we do, we can now determine how Hashem's going to run the world. Now, which mitzvah illustrates and expresses at most this idea is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh is the one mitzvah where Hashem says you are going to decide when to make Rosh Chodesh, and by therefore when Yontif is going to be, and everything to do with Yontif and Zmanim is dependent on the Chachamim. And this illustrates the ability we have to determine and orchestra, obviously through Hashem, what happens in this world. Rav Shimshon Pinkus takes it slightly further, and he says in this Ramban that the Ava and Yira is also not only our actions are Ava, sometimes Ava, sometimes Yira. Hashem runs the world also in sometimes in Ava and sometimes in Yira. He says, he was giving a shmuz at the time of the Gulf War, and he brings a very emotional. He says that there was once a judge where someone came into court and he needed to get 40 malchus. Now this judge was had mercy. He was a Rahman. He didn't want him to get 40 proper gzonta malchus. So what did he do? He said, "I'm going to give the malchus." So he goes and gives him little shvacha taps till 39. The 40th whip, he gave him a real shmeis. So they asked him, "What's happening here? Why now did you suddenly give a zazet?" So he said, "I wanted him to appreciate how much I've done for him on the other 39. Because really he should have got 39 of this 40th. But in order that he should appreciate the 39 that I didn't give him, I had to give him one 40th. He said that in the Gulf War, and I suppose today also we're seeing grace and nisim, that when Hashem shows us these nisim, that's his midas avo. It's the middah of showing us what le'aleinu could really happen to us. When missiles miss, and you know, we see Gros and Nissim, we got to take the message that this is the Ava of Hashem. This is the whip number 40, which could have been 39, Shtaka whips. And so getting back to this Ramban and the Zman of Rosh Chodesh and the Kiddush HaChodesh, this is, you know, in as much as we do our mitzvahs, I say, as much as we do it with Ava, when we show our passion and our connection, and we do that, say, our goodwill, then that will determine better that Hashem will be noy with us, ba'av. But if we just sit back and we do them yira, which represents the loy, say, that we don't go our extra way, we don't take on the extra step and show that we really believe and we really want to serve Hashem, then, you know, maybe Hashem will treat us with the more of the yira. And that's definitely a message before Pesach, that we came out of Mitzrayim. That was the first time we had merits on mitzvahs, we did Korban Pesach, and that led us to be able to have a Geula. And it's Hashem, we should be zeichet to Geula and be relevant to us, the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach, the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, and thank you for listening to me.
Excellent. Good.